Well, good morning and welcome back to Ag Hour. Chuck and Mark in the studio. Anyway, we're heading out to Illinois. John Gooden, with, it's WGFA, is it, John, out there in Watseka, Illinois?
That is correct. WGFA, world's greatest farming area.
I guess that's what you guys always call that. But you do have a pretty good farming area. Had a good year last year, didn't you?
We had a shocking year. I wouldn't have given you 2 cents for it the 1st of July, and I think, well, we had way too much water early. So we had water standing everywhere, and then we finally got stuff in, and I think we had that cool August and cool nights, and it just saved it. The corn was that I thought might be 150 early July was about all over 200. Some of the hybrids now, with the reduced stand, the years flex and they put on a little extra yield, and I think that's what happened here. So we were shocked, but happily surprised.
Yeah, and I think that's why this we're getting so much corn out there. So you guys in Illinois that I think are doing it.
well, yeah, you're darned if you do and darned if you don't. It was really something. I'll give you a quick example. Like, if you got a minute, my brother and I have a plot that we do for a seed company, and so the kind of our district manager come along about the June 10th or something, and said, "Well, we're going to tear this up," and it kept raining, and so finally she came back and said, "Well, we'll just leave it." And kind of have an example of what stuff yields when you get way too much water. And anyway, when we finally ended up doing the plot, I think it averaged like 230. And even with that reduced stand and the low spots, and so it was just unbelievable. I couldn't have imagined it, like I said, around the 4th of July that things would turn out that good.
Oh, I tell you, we look at some of them cornfields and what they yielded. You never would have even dreamt it would have come close to that, but that's the way the corn, it's kind of the way we're going. But John, let's, before I want to talk to you about coming up this spring, but you guys got some water out there again.
Yeah, we did. It seems like whenever I visit with you, Chuck, we've had too much water, and your listeners probably get tired of hearing that, but we had, 3 to 5 inch rains all around central Illinois and into the Indiana, up into northeast Indiana. Now it's more down around southern Illinois, Paducah, and Kentucky. Those guys are getting clobbered. But what happens in our particular town here in Watseka is we have about 3 creeks and the Iroquois River all come together here and merge and head up to the Kankakee River, and then eventually the Illinois and onto the Mississippi. So all these tributaries come together here, and when we get rain throughout the whole area, we can't hold it all. And we had about 200 homes in our town here that got water in them, and there's still a couple roads that are closed. So hopefully by like the end of today or tomorrow, the kids haven't been going to school. Hopefully they'll be back to school tomorrow, but yeah, it really, really stinks. And I think long term they're going to have to come up with some solution, because we're getting these 100-year events. It seems like about every 6 or 7 years, and that's just no good.
Now, is this water going into the ground at all, or are you froze?
Well, the worst one that I could remember was in 2008 in January, and at that time the ground was really froze. And I thought that was part of the problem. Well, this time, the frost is pretty much out of the ground, and it was just that these other towns in the area flooded, and then when that water leaves there, it all comes down to this low spot and eventually tries to go north up to Kankakee. The Iroquois and they actually flow north, which is pretty unusual to get up to where it joins up with the Illinois. But no, it was just, it's just rain that had nowhere to go and got outside the banks, and so pretty sad for a lot of folks.
Well, that's a pretty big area that's flooding down there. Now, you guys are going to be probably full. Your profile is going to be pretty full then by the time he starts planting this spring then.
Yeah, I don't think we have any problem with that. There's still ponds all over the place, but we don't really get going too crazy here unless the weather's just perfect till the middle of April or so. And you know, a long time ago, my dad wouldn't start till May 1st, so everybody's kind of changed their mind on that. But we've got a while. But I was just talking on our local station today, the Mississippi and some of the Delta states and that, they will start planting corn here pretty quick. And they've got too much water down there, too, so that's going to move them back. And all these things, you know, they just kind of build on each other. Then pretty soon you're having pollination in the real hot period down there. And I know there's parts of Texas and Kansas and all that that they're burning up. So it's an interesting start to 2018.
You know, you look at the markets, the winter wheat market over in the western Kansas and over to Texas Panhandle, they're burning up, and the winter wheat market's going up. A lot of talk of going to soybeans. I know you sell seed out there as well. Pioneer, are you seeing that a little more interest in beans, or Illinois still going to stick with the corn?
Well, I think right now USDA has them both at 90 million acres, and I don't think that's right. I think there's going to be more beans planted, and I'll be honest with you, I think guys like to plant corn, but in some cases, I think the lenders or whatever their financial situation may be is trying to encourage these guys into planting beans, and especially now if the new crop gets up over $10 that's going to make some people sit up and take notice. And so I agree with you. I think there's going to be more beans, and I think it could continue to be more beans and less corn.
Now, do you have a pretty narrow basis out there?
Not really. Not in our particular area. We're right in the center of the state. We have probably a lot of our corn bed is based on the ethanol plants, and then we have a bean processor here pretty locally, but it's not as good as a river, but it's not bad. But I'd say right now, if you were looking at new crop stuff, which is kind of what I've been following a little more, probably the beans are 35 under the November, and the corn probably 25. I don't know how that compares with you guys, but it's not a river bit by a long shot.
Well, ours is quite a bit wider than that, so that's why our feed is corn and beans are cheap to feed here. So, John, do you guys have any much in winter wheat down there, or are you pretty well done with that?
There's just a little bit here and there, and sometimes some guys will do a little bit and stuff if they want to do some tiling and that. But and then if, you know, economically, if it makes sense, we do have, because we're seed dealers, you know, once in a while I have people that put wheat out, and occasionally you'll have guys then that try to put some beans back in. It used to be if you were south of Route 70, you really had pretty good luck with double crop. But guys have even tried it this far north now, and it seems like our seasons might be changing a little bit, and once in a while they'll actually come out with a little double crop beans too into the wheat. But we don't have I'd say less than 5% of our acres are wheat acres easily.
So what, when they come back with beans, what's the maturity they use? Do they get down to the ones, or?
Well, no, actually what they do is that's what I always assume too, but they'll put in like group threes, and for some reason they've the local guys have determined those longer maturity beans actually will get up and do a little better. So it's a little bit the opposite of what I thought and kind of what you guessed too.
Yeah, I guess I never would have guessed that. Well, John, I know it's hopefully you dry out a little bit. You can always send some spring rains our way. We're kind of dry up north and west, but not much difference. We're probably drier now than we were last year in most cases in South Dakota. So
wow.
Send us some moisture. We don't need the snow. We got enough snow, just a little more moisture up here.
Okay. Well, it's kind of like South America. You know, it sounds like Argentina's burning up and Brazil's got too much rain, so nobody's ever happy, are they?
No, if we could pick it, we'd all be in trouble, wouldn't it? But that Argentina is going to be a thing to watch now with these beans. They're talking about maybe a little more demand coming with the beans, and Argentina, it must be real down there because they aren't backing off on the beans at all. So,
Nope. They continue to tell the same story. So, well, I'm sorry for those guys, but if it helps our markets a little bit, I'm all for it.
Well, and they just found out that they're thinking 2% less wheat produced globally this year, and that's definitely going to help those guys as well. So hopefully we can turn these markets a little bit anyway.
Sounds good, Chuck.
All right, John, thank you very much, and hope you get dry out there.
Yep, we need to dry out, and a nice visiting with you, and have a great day to all your listeners, too.
All right, and I'll talk to you this spring.
Okay.
All right, and that's John Gooden, who's with WGF.